Morning to each of you. Welcome to each of the visitors that are here with us. Feel free to worship the Lord with us today, and to each of the ones that are listening in today, worship the Lord with us. For a story for the children, there's a story that is told of from Holland, of a little boy that was walking along the dike one night and heard a little trickle. And for most of us, a little trickle of water isn't alarming. But for them it is, because if there's a small hole in the dike, soon there's going to be a big one. And as he was walking along, he heard that little trickle. And he wanted to know where it was, and he found the hole, and it was just the right size that he thought, I could stick my finger in that hole and it'll stop the trickle. So that's what he did. And then after the trickle stopped, he realized that he couldn't pull his finger back out again because it was going to be worse than before. As it was getting dark, he realized that everyone else was already back in the village, was already in the house, and that he was probably going to have to spend all night out there. And there's different renditions of the story, but just his willingness to stand there with his finger in the hole to keep the water from gushing out. And then as finally, someone came along early the next morning and saw him there and went for help. And the men that came to fix the dike, and the difference that could have been if he wouldn't have been there at that time, if he wouldn't have been willing to put his finger in that hole to stop that leak, it could have caused a lot of destruction for a lot of people, for his village. His finger probably got really cold. It wasn't a very comfortable night. It wasn't exciting or fun, but it was what he could do to help his village, his entire village that night. The title of our sermon today is Standing in the Gap. I was thinking of a definition. When we think of standing somewhere, we think of waiting, of maybe pacing because we're waiting to go do something. But that's not the kind of standing that we're talking about. It's not idle or passive. It's an action word. The word picture is, if you think of an old sheepfold, or something like that, where there's a stone wall to protect the sheep. And then if you think of a hole that got blasted into the wall doesn't do a whole lot anymore because anything can come in and attack the sheep or whatever you're trying to keep safe inside. And unless there's someone or something there to protect the sheep, it's not going to do much good. A couple verses here in Ezekiel 22, verse 30 and 31, we're going to read here at the beginning. Ezekiel 22, from verse 1 all the way to verse 29, is just a very dark picture of where Israel was at this time. It seemed like the children of Israel came to this point many times throughout their journey. And yet, the things that are listed, the idolatry and the sin that was prevalent in those days is awful. And yet, sometimes I thought when I was reading over it that it could almost be describing today and the situations that we have around us. So with that, we'll read verse 30 and 31, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore, I have poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. For their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord." First of all, we see that God delights to show mercy. He delights to forgive, to pardon, and he looks for someone to stand in the gap. I thought of a lot of different situations in the Bible where someone was there to stand in the gap. Abraham came to mind with Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, and how that he started out with a higher number, said if there's this many righteous people, and he kept begging God until God finally just pulled Lot out and destroyed the city because he was the only righteous person in there. And Moses, in Psalm 106, verses 20 to 23, talks about the incident with the golden calf and how Moses stood in the gap for the people and begged God not to destroy the people. Psalm 106, and we'll read just a couple of verses. "Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things in the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them." So here we see Moses in the account there in Exodus, or I think it's Exodus. I didn't look up the account there. But Moses went on for a long time begging God not to do this to his people, to his name. And he sent a punishment, a reminder, but he didn't destroy them. So thinking, what does it really look like for us to stand in the gap, for the people around us? Is it being a hero? Is it saving the day? You know, we think of exciting things. The little boy we talked about, everyone was grateful for what he did, he did a good thing. And yet, while he was doing it, it wasn't exciting or fun necessarily. And that's sometimes how it is. In Romans 11, verse 1 through 6 is another example. This one that Elijah on Mount Carmel there, we just recently read through that story, and I was just intrigued with that story again, how that everything that happened there with the prophets of Baal, and God brought down the fire and consumed stuff that doesn't normally burn, and showed his power in a mighty way. And yet, right afterward, the queen threatened his life, and he ran and hid, and proceeded to tell God all his troubles and why it was so bad. We'll read verse 1 through 6 of Romans 11. "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and have digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, Also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Verse 5 really stood out to me. Sometimes when we're standing in the gap for people, when we're working, we may feel a little like Elijah did sometimes, like we're the only one left. Like it's no use. What can one person do? And yet, verse 5 there, in Elijah's time, God had 7,000 people that hadn't bowed to Baal yet. And I believe he has a remnant throughout time, even through the darkest of history. There was always that remnant of people that were still willing to follow God and continue to be true. But we need people who are willing to stand in the gap, willing to sacrifice time, money, and our lives for the service of God and others. A lot of people are willing to be bystanders, to watch what's going on, but we're pretty good at coming up with excuses or reasons why we shouldn't get involved. Maybe we say, well, that's not my responsibility, it's not my problem. But a story I found that really spoke to me was a story from the 4th century. It was a monk who had a feeling that God wanted him to go to Rome. And he was from a remote village, but he set out on foot because he felt that God wanted him to go to Rome. And a week later, he arrived at the city, and it was a time of great festival. He followed the big crowds surging down the street toward the Colosseum. He saw the gladiators standing before the emperor and realized that these men were getting ready to do what they called the fight unto death. This was one man went to Rome. And immediately as he saw that, he started crying out, "In the name of Christ, stop." In the big crowd, he was drowned out. Nobody paid any attention to him. And as the games began, he pushed his way through the crowd, climbed over the wall into the arena, all the while shouting, "In the name of Christ, stop." Some of the people thought this was part of the show and started laughing, and they later realized that this wasn't part of it. And as the gladiator stood there looking at him coming, one of them just reached out with his sword and took care of him and killed him. And as the gladiator stood there, there was just a major hush fell across the whole crowd. And slowly a man in the back got up and walked out, and then another and another. And this was the last time that they did the gladiator fight unto death in Rome. And there was one man willing to do what he felt God wanted him to do. It cost him his life, and yet he was willing to do what God called him to. One thing that one saying that I heard before was that if you see a need, God allowed you to see that need because he wanted you to do something about it. There's not a verse like that in the Bible, but I think that's a good concept to go by. We see needs around us. But are we willing to step in? In 1 John 3, verse 17, in the Message Bible, it says, If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear. And I think that verse, that translation made it stand out to me more than I've really thought about it before, because we are God's ambassadors. We are what shows God's love to the people around us. And when we see a need and we have the means, we have the ability to take care of it, and we don't, we snuff out God's love in that situation. I pray that I will never do that, that doesn't happen to us, that we are willing to step out and to make that difference. Sometimes we think of standing in the gap, we think of prayer, and that is a big one, something that we can do. Sometimes we pray for a situation, and the person may not really be aware that we're praying for them, and they don't have to be. I think one thing that I've been blessed with is the way Brother Paul mentions Austin often in Wednesday night prayer meeting, and the burden that I can sense that he has for him, and that's a blessing to see that. Just keep that up. And I was also talking to a friend of mine when we were on our Christmas trip there, and he said, we were talking about this idea here, and he said that he had several crews of guys. They did construction, and some things happened, some things got rearranged, and he started working more with the one young guy, and realized that this guy was just crippled with fear. There was a lot of jobs on the job site that he couldn't do, just because he couldn't do it right. And he realized that this guy was just bound. His whole life was tied up in fear. And he mentioned it to his wife and didn't really talk about it much more. But they separately started praying for this man, and praying that the fear that he's experiencing, that the devil couldn't get to him, that there was a protection around him, and that he would see the lies that Satan is bringing into his life. And over the next several months, they started seeing a change in this man. And he started doing jobs that he couldn't do before. In his personal life, he started singing on the job. He started reaching out to the people around him. And it was just a neat thing to see how God was working through their faith, their prayers for this other person, and how that when Satan, the lies that Satan was pushing into his life, when that was blocked through their prayers, he could see and he could experience God's work in his life. Along with that, Arlen often mentions at the end of the service to, when somebody comes to your mind, to pray for them. And I think that is very key, especially as a group of, as a body of believers, that we lift each other up, and we pray for each other as we come to each other's mind, as we go about our work. We're commanded to love our brothers, commanded to lift each other up. The one other illustration of standing in the gap that I forgot to mention there at the beginning was sometimes we see the little drawing of the three men walking with a stick between the three of them, and they come to a gap in the road, and the first man hangs on the stick, and the other two carry him across that, and then the center one is carried across, and then they all three make their way across. And that's how we help each other as we go about our lives. There was a sermon I listened to last week by David Platt that touched on a subject that was very powerful. We think of commandments of God. We're commanded to love each other. We're commanded to reach out to help each other. And he was talking here about specifically about the Great Commission, but I think it fits into all the other commands that God gives us as well. I'm just going to read part of it here. It says, "We have turned the Great Commission into an optional program for a few select people. When we hear Jesus say, 'Go and make disciples of all nations,' we assume that means someone else. But when we hear Jesus say, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest,' we assume that means me. We hear Jesus say, 'You will be my witness to the ends of the earth,' and we think, 'Well, that's for others.' We hear Jesus say, 'Cast your cares on me, and I will care for you,' and we think, 'Of course, that means me.' And then he went on to say, we try to put the promises and the commands all in one dish and pick out the ones that we want, the ones that we think apply, instead of obeying the commands and trusting his promises. So that was a challenge for me. So am I willing to stand in the gap for the people around me, for the people that the needs that are brought to my attention? Or like in Ezekiel, is God going to say, 'I sought for a man and I found none'? Is that going to be said about me? And in Romans, even so, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. We are not alone. We're not just out on some island by ourselves. We have the power of God, and we have the people around us. May we be willing to stand in the gap. May it never be said of us that we made God's love disappear, that we hindered God's love to shine to a situation that God put us there for the purpose of his love to shine to others. With that, let's come to prayer.